cliffcentral.com.
All right, so hey, George, what's happening?
Hey, Gareth, good morning. How's it, Phil? Hello, Sia.
Hi, George, how are you?
What is that? What
have you got? Changed cars.
What have you got?
That is a Jaguar I-Pace.
Nice.
Electric,
fully electric car. I've had it for a couple of days now, and I'm loving it. The cable plugged into the side of the car means that I can drive past the filling stations.
That's amazing. How far does it go again on a full battery?
So this particular car, the I-Pace, does about anywhere between 400 and 470 kilometers, depending on how you drive. So the car's software calculates your last 50 kilometers of driving style, and then it adjusts your range based on your driving style. So so at the moment, I'm getting about 400 Ks out of the car, because I think my right foot is still a little bit too heavy getting used to the instant torque that this car delivers. It's 90 kilowatts. So it's one of the bigger batteries on the market versus the Mini or the i3 or the lower end Porsche that I had the last time on the show.
Right.
And it does 0 to 100 in about 4.6 seconds.
I like the way you talk about a lower end Porsche. I mean, do me a favor. Is there such a thing as a lower end Porsche? I mean, even Phil thinks that's ridiculous.
The one I had the last time, Gareth, was the single motor Porsche Taycan, which means it's only got one motor between the rear wheels, whereas the Porsche Taycan Turbo has two motors. So that's what I mean by lower end Porsche. Not inferior.
No, okay, I get you. So, Phil, what do you think of electric cars? Do you guys sell quite a few of those? What's your feeling on them?
Well, yeah, I mean, so we got quite a lineup for next year. I mean, so we were supposed to start off with EQC, mm-hmm. which is your GLC basically converted into a full electric. But yeah, I mean, with COVID and all, I mean, they've suspended the whole range. So we're going to have quite an exciting launch in 2022. George, I don't know if you've seen some pictures or so on the new EQS, which the in Germany are.
Nice.
I've seen there are quite a few electric cars spotted to be coming to South Africa from next year and the year after. So it's going to be an exciting world, I think.
All right,
absolutely,
George. Before we get on to my question about the zombie apocalypse, what have you got for us this morning?
So, Gareth, first of all, somebody obviously in the United States decided in his infinite wisdom to fill 20-gallon jerry cans full of fuel, stick it in the back of his 2004 Hummer H2, and this lot set alight.
Oh, my God.
Now, fortunately, nobody was hurt, but by the time the fire department got there, the car was reduced to nothing.
By the way, this is all happening because there were fuel shortages on the East Coast in America, and people lost their minds. They were filling – I saw pictures. I don't know if this is nonsense or not, but I saw pictures of people with like a shopping bag, a plastic shopping bag that they were filling with fuel.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know how dangerous and stupid that is? That is so stupid. You have to be – one of the dumbest people in the universe to actually do something like that. And, you know, America always comes to the party when it's dumb stuff like that. Well done, USA. America, M-U-R-I-C-A. Beautiful.
George, let me guess. Did this happen in Florida by any chance?
This happened in Citrus County.
Don't know where that is.
Citrus County. Yes, that is in Florida. It's a place called Homosassa, Florida.
There we go. All right. Well done, Sia. Well spotted.
Florida just is the gift that keeps on giving.
Sia knows his customers. All right. So you shouldn't do this. Let's just put out a public service announcement here. If we ever have fuel shortages, even in a jerry can, which is probably the safest way to transport fuel, don't fill 10 of them and then put them in the back of your car. You're basically driving an explosive. That's what you're doing.
Exactly.
Right.
You are. You're driving an explosive. Your fuel tank inside the car, Phil can attest to this, your fuel tank inside the car has been built to withstand an accident to a certain degree so that it doesn't explode. But jerry cans don't have the same sort of technology.
Sure. All right.
A very, very, very good thing is happening at the moment. The South African government is looking to change the taxes on electric cars. So the Department of Trade and Industry released a green paper in this last week, and they are looking to reduce the ad valorem tax or duty on electric cars. Now, just to put that in perspective, an internal combustion engine car, when you import it, attracts about 18% import duty. And an electric car attracts about 25% import duty. But on top of the 25% import duty, you can pay up to 17% ad valorem tax, which is like a luxury tax. So the government's looking to reduce the ad valorem tax. And then also looking to give tax relief based on the kilowatt hours of the car. Now, this is a 90 kilowatt hour car. So it's quite large, you get the BMW i3 or the Mini electric, which has about a 60 kilowatt is a 60 kilowatt hour car. So they're looking basically tax the car at a lower rate based on lower kilowatt hours. So this is all very good. I think more needs to be done, but at least something's happening, Gareth.
That's very good news. Mm-hmm. It's not often that we get a chance to say nice things about the government. Phil, you wanted to say something?
No. I'm excited. I mean, that will really help. I mean, so, as you know, I mean, we've got quite a few manufacturers in South Africa as well that's exporting internal combustion engines to the rest of the world. So, I mean, that will actually open up a new door maybe for possibility that we can actually assemble some electric vehicles in South Africa as well.
That would be a plus.
Which will bring the price down even more.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, George, you've been beating that drum for a long time. We need to make the transition, otherwise we're going to be left behind. All right, guys.
We will lose that export. Go on.
What's the charging time on the Jag?
So that's a very interesting question. So if I show you, the car comes with two cables. The first cable.
He almost tripped. Imagine if George tripped and fell on his and went unconscious while he's talking to us. That would be so.
Oh
bad.
My gosh!
Imagine.
No. The first cable is this cable you plug into the wall.
Okay.
Right? That's that cable. Effectively, you can plug into any plug socket. It charges the car at a rate of approximately 2.4 to 3.4 kilowatts.
Wow.
Which in a 90 kilowatt hour car will take about 30, 40 hours to charge from zero to full. I've got a fast charger installed. You can see it's on the wall there. I've still got to paint it. They've just installed it. And that takes the charge rate up to about 7.4 kilowatts. So I've been driving the car for the last couple of days, and you do a maximum of 60 to 100 Ks a day in normal commuting. And at night when I get home, plug the car in, and it says to me 3 hours to full. So chances are with the fast charger, each night all you need is 3 hours to fill the car. Now, your next question might be cost. The cost of electricity in South Africa at a normal residential single-phase house like this is about 1.80 to 2 rand per kilowatt per unit.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see that a 90 kilowatt car is going to cost about 180 to 200 rand to fill and do 400 kilometers.
And that is a hell of a lot cheaper than the fuel if you had to go to the petrol station and fill up.
Yeah. 100%.
That's great.
Now, the even better solution is on my right-hand side here. I can't show you, but I've got a set of inverters and batteries and solar panels on the roof. Yesterday, I charged the car from 90% to 100% only using the sunshine.
George, you are an inspiration because the rest of us feel like we're still in the Stone Age. I mean, you've got everything sorted out there. You have fast chargers. You've got solar panels. I mean, Phil's basically sitting in the dark over there, and Sia and I haven't had power this week for 1 or 2 days. So we're all Neanderthals by comparison. All right, guys, are we ready to do the zombie apocalypse cars?
We are.
All right. Let's start off. George, you've got a few to go through here. So I've got all the pictures. Whenever you're ready, hit us with the first suggestion.
All right. So the first suggestion is a Sportsmobile four-wheel drive. So if you have a look at this car, it's nice and it's raised. If you go and Google it, Sportsmobile four-wheel drive, you'll see that.
Which one is that?
It's got a camping tent.
Just describe what it looks like, and I'll choose the right picture here. You've sent us
it's the yellow one that looks like an old A-Team's Passion Wagon.
There we go. Look at that. It's got a tent. All right, that does look like a Passion Wagon, but it has big tires. It's got a spare wheel on the back. It's got a ladder. I don't like the ladder because zombies might be able to climb the ladder.
Might be able to climb the ladder, exactly. Okay. It's got four-wheel drive capability, and it's got beds inside. So you don't need to necessarily leave the vehicle.
All right. Well, that's a good start. Okay. We like that. Very nice.
Now, the next one, which I think is probably the one that is the best on this list, is the Local Motors Rally Fighter. Now, that one is, it looks like a matte black car with four-wheel drive tires. It's got a red paint around its grill, Gareth. It's got a little bit of a T-top. So that car looks quite quick, and it looks like it can almost get anywhere.
Yeah, you see, you got that open top, though. I mean, zombies could reach in. What if you break down? I don't know.
And what's the storage situation like for this one?
Yeah.
Well, not very much, because you want to get away from the zombies, right? So this car was actually built for the desert. So it depends on where you are. If you find yourself in the desert with zombies, this car will get you away from them.
All right. That's not a bad
suggestion.
George,
I still need moisturizer. I still need at least snacks for the road. I still need a change of outfits. I mean,
that's an interesting vehicle. All right. What else have you got there on your list?
And then the next one is the Aston Martin DB9. Now, Aston Martin DB9 is a fast car. So if you find yourself being a city slicker and you want to get away from the zombies, the Aston Martin DB9 is on the list. It's not my favorite zombie getaway car, but it is incredibly
quick.
With the
blood and the bones and the teeth and the brains, and you're going to be driving into a lot of zombies. It's going to ruin this car. It's such a beautiful vehicle. You do not want to abuse this by driving it into zombies. I don't like this at all. That's a terrible suggestion.
But it seems like you could drive with James Bond in that car, it seems like.
Yeah, well,
if
I think so far the best one is that A-Team Passion Wagon. That's the yellow one. It's got to be in yellow, though, so, that's good.
And then one I think that's going to trump the Passion Wagon is the Conquest Knight XV, which is a black, looks like a little bit of a Hummer, looks like a bit of a that one.
Oh my god. Now we're talking. That is a car.
Now, that could be, it doesn't have to be bulletproof, but it could be axe-proof,
This has displaced the Passion Wagon. This is definitely much better. Phil, this thing could easily take on zombies in this. It looks like it's already armor-plated. It's got those huge lights on the top. You could light up the space in front of you. You could see where the zombies are coming from. It looks like, not too many zombie guts are going to get into the engine because it's got that grill on the front. This is good.
And then the next car, Gareth, is if you find yourself living near water and you need a getaway car, is the Water Car Python.
Okay, here it is. Look at this.
Ooh. Now, wait a minute.
So the question is, can zombies swim? And if they can't, this is the perfect getaway car from zombies.
That is pretty cool. Now, is that thing completely amphibious?
It's completely amphibious. You can drive it on land, and you can ride it in the water, or what do you call driving a boat?
Sailing.
sailing a speedboat.
I really like that.
And then if you're a motorcycle type and you think that you need a getaway a motorcycle, the Triumph Rocket 3 Roadster is probably the one to go for. It looks like a little bit of a street fighter and maybe in the Mad Max era.
Phil, are you much of a motorbike enthusiast?
Well, no. I mean, I have got quite a few friends. I mean, I was almost getting into it, and then I got quite a few friends that got, you know, hurt badly. So, yeah, I decided to skip that one.
Yeah, well, my parents said, no, you're exactly right. My parents said to me when I was a kid, there are only two things that we will not allow you to do while you live in our house. One is ride a motorbike, and the other one is get a piercing or a tattoo. And luckily, I didn't break any of their rules. I mean, there's nothing better than that feeling of being on a bike, and I have subsequently been on one. But you're either really into it, and then you become super passionate about it, and you spend fortunes of money. And, you know, there's some people whose whole life works around these bikes. But I do think in a zombie apocalypse, it might have its usefulness. I mean, it can get away quickly. It's much more, you know, it could turn on a dime. Yeah, you can get through spaces that cars couldn't. I think it's not a bad idea to have one of those in reserve. That's a good one, George.
In your zombie reserve. The next one, Gareth, is the Mercedes-Benz Unimog.
Yes, now that's a car. Okay, is that the green one or the black and white one in these pictures?
It's the black and white one.
Ah, nice. There it is. There's the Unimog. That one. There we are.
Mercedes-Benz Unimog. And I would imagine that could drive over quite a few zombies. And you could have a gun turret on the back.
Yes. We're talking. Know. Yes, absolutely.
What is that even used for? That is like a truck transformer.
It is a bit of a truck chassis.
You want to say, Phil? Because do you guys sell these? Say that again.
No, we sold a couple in the last, well, I'll say a couple of years ago, and it's quite often used in forestry.
Oh yeah.
The Unimog's got a very small turning circle, so it's actually very useful when you're in the forest, in a pine forest or so, where it can turn easily around. So yeah.
Now, George, that picture that you sent us of that Unimog, it's actually quite a deceiving picture because they're very, very high cars. They're very big. Those wheels are much, much bigger than a normal car's wheels.
It's pretty much a truck chassis. So if you think of the height of a truck, the Unimog is probably as high as that.
See, now, what other show in the whole world would tell you how to avoid zombies? This is why we're so special, and we like to, you know, give you services no one else can. What else have we got? Last three.
Well, if you're on a budget, and you really need to get away quickly, and you can't afford an anti-zombie car, the Narborg Trail Rider does.
All right.
So that particular electric skateboard, you want to call it, does 0 to 100 km/h an hour in 2 seconds. In 4 seconds, and beats 90% of cars.
Yeah, I just think you're very exposed. Sia, this is not one for you.
Not at all. You can't carry supplies here.
No.
The zombies have easy access to you. George, good tick in terms of being able to be agile and move quickly, but for everything else.
So far, top of the pops for me is the Unimog. Have you got anything to compete with that? We've got the last two.
The last two. Okay, so I'll leave the best for last, but the second last is the Bugatti Veyron Supersport. Incredibly quick car if you've got some fast zombies. And this is probably going to go into your category of the Aston Martin, Gareth, where, you know, you don't want to mess the car up. But in a zombie war, I suppose it doesn't matter.
Hey, listen, Phil, the only reason you'd have this car is if you stole one from a dealership because you wanted to get some kicks and drive one of the most expensive cars in the world, right? There's no other reason.
Sure.
All right, the last one, George. What's the last one?
Last but not least, and I think this one trumps them all for me, and that is the Mercedes-Benz G-Wagon Lap V6X.
Sure, there it is. Oh, six. That is the car. That's the one. Done deal.
I think that's the zombie apocalypse car to have.
Well, it's so funny. Like Phil was talking about.
I'm going to pick up Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I mean, Phil was saying earlier that's one of their most expensive cars. Not exactly this. This has been modified. But, you know, the G-Wagon is a really popular car, and it's expensive, and people love it. But look at how this one's been modified. It's so cool. That is what you need more than anything else.
Exactly. Well, there you have it. You can avoid the zombies in one of these in whichever way you want.
Awesome. Well, I love it. George, thank you so much. Phil, do you have any cars that we might have left out there that George hasn't covered that you would throw in before we go?
Yeah, well, yeah, George basically stole two of my ideas, but I need to be biased and probably stay with my brand. So I don't have a picture, but I'm sure you'll get the if you're going to Google Mercedes-Benz cement mixer. You'll probably get a picture of how
you Mercedes-Benz cement mixer.
I'm Googling that right now.
All right, let's see who gets the picture first. Is it an actual cement mixer, or is that just a nickname?
No. I think it's just something that's rugged, and we'll probably get over some more too.
This is great. All right, now hang on, I've got to put this.
Well, you could put the zombies in the back and let the thing turn.
All right, hang on.
Oh my gosh,
that is a good idea. And you could put blades in there instead of a mixer. You could put like a thing that chops them up and spits them out down the chute. Yeah, you could throw whole zombies in, and it comes out as like a gravy. Zombie gravy.
I don't want to make a zombie salad.
No, it would be a zombie gravy, trust me. Jesus, that's a hell of a thing. But that's not a bad suggestion, actually. Come to think of it. I mean, look at this thing. Let me put the picture up and you can see what we're all talking about. So it's what you'd expect, a cement mixer. But you imagine you have someone up on the tower. You basically, I mean, you could modify it to have like a thing in the front that sucks up the zombies, puts them into the mixer, chops them up, and then spits them out down the chute. And that could really get you some, that could save a lot of lives, human lives, not zombie ones. I love it. All right, gentlemen, it's been lots of fun. As always, we've had a ridiculous Friday. And George, thanks for doing all the research into zombie cars. Phil, great to see you again. CliffCentral.com